thank you for joining us for this chapel message from the campus of Columbia International University in Columbia, South Carolina. Our mission at CIU is to educate people from a biblical worldview to impact the nations with the message of Christ.
Well, we continue our discussion about the mission of God this week and healthcare and the mission of God by taking a turn and looking at medical science in God's mission. And we're going to introduce our two guests here today.
I'd like to introduce Dr. David DeWitt. Dr. DeWitt is the... Dr. DeWitt is the Dean of Science Programs in the College of Arts and Sciences at Columbia International University, where he teaches biology classes and is developing biology, biomedical science, and pre-med programs here at CIU. He has done research in neurodegenerative disorders. I had to say that carefully. They gave me the big words to introduce, including Alzheimer's disease. He has written extensively on the creation-evolution debate, including a book titled Unraveling the Origins Controversy. Before the Lord brought him to CIU, he taught at Liberty University for 25 years, where he also served as the chair of biology and chemistry for 9 years. Dr. DeWitt and his wife Marcy have 3 daughters, Kathleen, Emily, and Sarah. They're 27, 23, and 21 years old. Kathleen is married, and so is Sarah, who just got married this past Saturday. So he's been a little busy, I think. And Dr. DeWitt is actively seeking a church home in Columbia when he's not in Virginia worshiping with his wife at Thomas Road Baptist Church. Please welcome Dr. David DeWitt.
And to my right, I want to introduce my friend, Dr. Campbell McGinnis. Dr. McGinnis is a professor of medicinal chemistry in the College of Pharmacy at USC. He teaches chemistry of pharmaceuticals to first-year pharmacy students. He also runs a research laboratory with the primary aim of developing new and improved targeted cancer drugs that hone in on the cancer cells to kill them while having less collateral damage on healthy cells of a patient, leading to fewer undesirable side effects of chemotherapy. So he builds cancer drugs. He started working at USC 15 years ago after coming to the US from his native Scotland with his wife Rosie and daughters Laura and Emma. They're a part of Gateway Baptist Church, where he's involved in the prayer ministry. So welcome, Dr. McGinnis.
So our first question is for both of you. We'll start with Dr. DeWitt on the end down there. How did you get interested in science?
Well, in high school, I was interested in a lot of different things, history and politics and computers, but I was really inspired by my high school science teachers that just really sparked my interest.
Dr. McGinnis?
Go a little closer, yeah.
Yeah, so my dad is a pharmacist, or was a pharmacist by training, and I've got 3 brothers. One's a medical doctor, one's a dentist, and the other one works for a pharmaceutical company. So I guess you could say that we have science in our genes, but in high school, I had no idea what I wanted to do for a career, and that was before I knew the Lord, and so for some reason, I chose a chemistry degree to do in undergraduate, and I look back at that now and see how God was sovereignly guiding me, even when I didn't know him. I didn't come to faith till I was 19 in my second year of my undergraduate degree, so God guided me in that.
So you guys were the ones that ruined the science fair for everyone else, I think, right, in high school?
I got first place in the state for facts and five.
There we go. We got the best here to start our science program. Dr. McGinnis, tell us a little bit about your work in cancer therapeutics. What does that mean and what do you do?
Sure. I think in my bio you kind of introduced it quite well, but so I'm primarily a chemist by training. So what we do is we make molecules, like we join the building blocks together. It's kind of like molecular Legos. You join them together and make new molecules from that. We also use computer design as well to try and design molecules which will focus in on defects in cancer cells. So the problem with cancer is cells start to grow uncontrollably, and there's proteins within the cell which become mutated and are changed. And so the idea is that we're trying to focus in on those differences between the cancer cell and the normal cell and design these molecules which would preferentially kill the cancer cells and leave the healthy cells untouched. And that's the main issue with chemotherapy, is that it kind of kills the normal cells as well as the cancer cells. So there's a lot of collateral damage with it. So we're developing these targeted therapeutics, which will hopefully be much more selective, much more effective, and less toxic to the body.
Thank you.
Okay, Dr. DeWitt, can you tell us about your research in Alzheimer's disease?
Yeah, well, Alzheimer's is obviously a widespread disease, and millions of people are affected by it. And one of the major obstacles to a therapeutic or a treatment is we don't really understand the trigger or the cause. And so what I've focused on, not actually with patients, but with cells and animal models, is trying to understand what are those initial triggers. Because you might get lucky trying to make a drug. It's like shooting a target in a dark room. You might hit it. But if somebody turns on the light, then you've got a better chance of hitting it. So my focus has been what are some of those initial causes?
Often we've heard statements in our country in the last couple of years, I trust the science, I follow the science. You are believers in Jesus Christ, but you're also scientists. So what's the relationship between faith and science? And you're a leader of prayer in your church. What's the relationship between prayer and science? Let me start with you, Dr. McGinnis.
Yeah, so to me, faith and science are inextricably linked. So you can't really have one without the other. So my faith guides everything I do. So while we understand a lot about science, there's so much that we don't know. And so it's a huge element of randomness, even in experimentation and doing research, because of the unknowns. So there's many different avenues, many different roads you could take in your experimentation. So prayer and faith really are central to that for me in knowing what decisions I should make, what experiments I should do, which people I should hire to do the work, the graduate students, etc. So it's all really combined together, so really inextricably linked.
Yeah. I cringe when I hear that phrase, follow the science, or I believe the science. As soon as you do that, you're stepping out of science. And when we hear this phrase, though, a man of science or a woman of science, what that, I think, means is, right, this is someone who looks only at evidence and trusts only what they see. And the phrase man or woman of faith is someone who is kind of believing what they don't see. And we can see that, right, in Hebrews. Faith is the assurance of things hoped for and being certain of what we don't see. Where science is really just what we can see. So they're both ways of knowing, but the difference is really what we can be sure of from what we can see versus what we can be sure of from what we hope for. And we can study the universe, we can study cells and so on, but the origin is something that we can't see. That's an area of faith, right? The universe was formed at God's command, so that what was seen was not made out of what was visible.
Yeah, just to expand on that too. So the definition of science to me is really studying to unlock the mysteries of God, God's creation. So God already knows everything about what he's made. And so he's given us like the creativity and the inquisitiveness and the understanding to try and learn more about what he's made and to use that knowledge to then solve problems which exist in the world. So I think faith is tied in because God already knows it, so he's just kind of revealing it to us one step at a time and expanding our knowledge. And I don't know why he does it that way, but that's the way he's chosen to do it, is kind of progressive revelation. So,
if you don't mind, I'd like to ask a follow-up, because you're a scientist and you build cancer drugs, but your wife battled with cancer a few years ago. And I just wonder, as a man of science and a man of prayer, how did you all navigate that together? Because you knew what was in the drug, and maybe you knew too much, but I'd love if you could just comment on that.
Sure, yeah. I mean, so my wife, she was diagnosed with aggressive form of breast cancer, and it's close to 10 years ago now, so she's survived all that time. We're very thankful for that, and we believe a big part of her recovery was answered prayer and God's supernatural healing, keeping the cancer away, but also he provided the right doctors, and he's also provided breakthroughs in the treatments as well. So the actual type of breast cancer she had prior to the year 2000, with the advent of one of these new targeted drugs, it was one of the worst forms of breast cancer to get. And now with this new drug that's available, it's actually one of the most treatable. It has about a 95% cure rate. So it's really transformed it. So it's, again, it's all combined together, the prayer. We believe God's healing and also him providing that medication to make a difference too. So.
Thank you. That was off script. I was going rogue here, but...
Dr. DeWitt, how do you share the gospel with other scientists in your field?
Well, I look at it really as kind of a 1-2 punch. And by that, I mean you have to hit the head. You have to remove some of the intellectual barriers that people put up. You have to answer those questions. But you can't just do that. If you just answer those questions, that doesn't always help them to see the gospel. So the second punch is the heart. And often, really, the fundamental problem is a heart problem. And people will throw up the intellectual objections to cover up the heart issue. So it's a combination of being able to answer those questions, but really reaching them in love.
Dr. McGinnis, how do you share the gospel in your field?
So in a sense, it depends. So I think there's a lot of scientists who actually are atheists. And so the very first step, you have to try and convince them that there is a God who created everything we see. And so I think God has revealed himself to us in three ways. First of all, he revealed himself to us through creation, and then he revealed himself through his written word. He's also revealed himself to us through our personal experience as well. So in order to convince somebody of creation, that God created everything, I think we have to go down to life in its simplest form. I mean, God's shown us through like the wonders in the heavens, like we gaze into the night sky and we see the scope of the universe, like the planets and the solar system, and just the beauty in the sky. So we see the wonders of the universe, we see the wonders in our bodies, that God has made us amazingly complex. Even though we started from a single cell, those cells know how to differentiate into all different organs and tissues and bones and blood vessels, etc. So just that amazing ability there in our human bodies and how complex our bodies are. But to me, the easiest way to convince somebody that God is the creator is that even though they try to explain life through evolution, scientists have no explanation for how life in its simplest form came about. And so...
In a single cell,
yes. So, I mean, that's not... The biggest problem is not the theory of evolution. The biggest problem is explaining how the life began in the first place, even in order for evolution to take place after that. So I just share some of the complexities of a cell, like a single cell. If you could shrink yourself down and swim around inside a cell, you'd think you're in some kind of science fiction movie. It's just so amazing, so complex. There's more complexity in a single cell than there probably is in the whole of the United States, with all the people, with all the communications, with all the highways and roads and networks and everything like that. So the complexity there is just unbelievable. And so for that cell to have arisen by through random processes, some people have equated it to like winning a jackpot on a slot machine, but then like 100 different slot machines, like winning the jackpot, every single one of those slot machines in a row kind of thing. So the probability of that happening is just infinitesimally small. And so the only explanation for that is God. So you can convince people, I think, through that creative act, because they don't have an explanation for it other than God himself. And then once you convince them of creation, then you can then show them the amazing validity of the Bible in terms of its literary accuracy over millennia, its historical accuracy shown through archaeology, which has never refuted anything that's found in the scriptures, and then the prophetical accuracy as well in paving the way for showing us prophecies about Christ and how he fulfilled all his prophecies to the letter. So that's kind of how I would approach it. So.
Thank you so much. So we're talking about the connection between medical science and global mission, and you've illustrated already in terms of personal witness, how you can witness to other scientists. But if somebody had a real interest in science and cross-cultural mission, what could they do with a science degree? We'll start with you, Dr. DeWitt.
Science itself is a mission field. And in some ways, it's kind of like a closed country, just in terms of how dominated it is really by those that that don't accept the Lord. But there are a lot of opportunities around the world. Science is a way to open doors to countries that are closed. So one of my friends actually went to a closed country and did environmental work on particular animals that were of interest to the people there. And so they were a tent maker missionary. And of course, in medicine and healthcare, there are a lot of opportunities. We heard a lot from nursing, but there's needs in medicine and physical therapy and a variety of allied health professions that can be done globally.
Even when you're speaking, one of my heroes in mission history is an Italian Jesuit, Matteo Ricci, who was also an astronomer and was hired by the government of China in the 16th and early 17th century to be their royal astronomer or their national astronomer, and he went as a missionary and was an astronomer. How would you follow up to that question, the connection between medical mission and medical science and mission?
Yeah, so I mean, so I think science is very, very multicultural and multinational as well, and so I have people working for me from Nepal, from India, from China, from Greece, about collaborations in different parts of the world as well. So my kind of approach to that is to try and reach these people who come and work for me and then influence them so that maybe they can go back to their country and then share the gospel in their home countries as well. So it's a very multinational, multicultural. Occasionally I have the odd American that works for me too. So.
Okay.
This is a question for both of you. I'll start with Dr. DeWitt. What advice would you give to anyone considering studying science or working in the field of medical science?
It's kind of a general advice, but especially for those in science, is number one, let the love of Christ shine through you so that people can see that difference and that the gospel is attractive, right? You know, it's this phrase, sometimes you're the only gospel that some people will read. So that's the first part. But the second is you have to also let people know that you are a believer. Faith comes by hearing. They have to hear that. And I experienced that when I was in grad school, because I had decided that I was gonna wear a Jesus is the reason for the season pin. And I was surprised at how many other believers I met because they saw that. And a lot of times you have to take the hits because you're gonna get challenged, you're gonna get laughed at. That's gonna be a part of it. But what will also probably happen, some of those people that are given those hits, when it's one-on-one, and because they see your lifestyle, when something happens, when they have a problem, when they're scared, they're gonna come to you. I'll never forget this. One of my students, she said, they made fun of her in the lab when she was in grad school, but each of them, one by one, would also ask her questions. And one of them once said, "Are you afraid to die? Because I am." And that was a way that she was then able to share the gospel. And so it's you have to let people know both by your actions, but also by your words. And second, we do have anatomy and physiology that we're offering this spring. So students that are interested in nursing or physical therapy or pre-med, we're gonna have that course available. I'll be in the cafeteria at a table and we can talk about it.
Thank you. McGinnis?
Yeah, I guess just to kind of reiterate what I said before about just the amazing wonders of God's creation that we can study through science and just be prepared to be amazed at how intricate we are, how amazing we are in our bodies, and as I describe, even down to our single cells. I want to share an illustration I forgot to mention before, that like in that single cell of our bodies, so we have all the proteins that make up these molecular machines that then copy the different parts of the cell, make new proteins, and then copy the DNA so that the cells can grow and divide. And then, so in the nucleus of a cell, so there's the DNA, which is a genetic code, and that's all wound up in a big ball. So even though a cell itself is only 10 millionths of a meter in diameter, if you were to stretch out the DNA in the nucleus of a cell, it would be roughly 6 feet long. So something 6 feet long is packed into a tiny little thing that's 10 millionths of a meter. And there's about 10 to 100 trillion cells in a person. And so if you took all the DNA in one person, it would reach to the end of the solar system pretty much. So that's just the amazing complexity that we have. So I just I encourage you to study the wonders of science and learn more about it. And as a research scientist, I think you have to be prepared to have a lot of failures and just kind of push through those failures. More things that fail rather than succeed. Think of it as a kind of an iceberg. You have the bit that's above the surface is the success, and then you have this huge thing under the water, which is the failure kind of thing. But so the failures are kind of, you have to get through all those failures to get to the successes. So you have to have a lot of perseverance, a lot of stamina to do that. And I've wanted to quit science many times because of that, those frustrations. But the successes certainly make it worth it. So it's true of many things in life, but especially science too.
Well, thank you so much. Let's give a hand to our panel here.
We hope you found this message a blessing to your life. More Columbia International University Chapel messages are available at iTunes and at podcast.ciu.edu. Learn more about CIU's undergraduate, seminary, and graduate programs at our website, ciu.edu. Columbia International University educates people from a biblical worldview to impact the nations with the message of Christ. Thank you for the opportunity to minister to you today.